The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory
to you, O Lord. Now a man was ill, Lazarus from Bethany, in the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who had anointed the Lord with perfumed oil and dried his feet with her hair. It was her brother, Lazarus, who was ill. So the two sisters sent word to him, saying, "Master, the one you love is ill." When Jesus heard this, he said, "This illness is not to end in death, but is for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sisters and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was ill, he remained for 2 days in that place where he was. Then after this, he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just trying to stone you, and you won't want to go back there." Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in a day? If one walks during the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of the world. But if one walks at night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him." He said this, and then told them, "Our friend Lazarus is asleep, but I am going to awaken him." So the disciples said to him, "Master, if he is asleep, he will be saved." But Jesus was talking about his death, while they thought that he meant ordinary sleep. So then Jesus said to them clearly, "Lazarus has died, and I am glad for you that I was not there, that you may believe. Let us go to him." So Thomas, called Didymus, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go to die with him." When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, only about 2 miles away. And many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, but Mary sat at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise." Martha said to him, "I know he will rise in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus told her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even if he dies, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord. I have come to believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, the one who is coming into the world." When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary secretly, saying, "The teacher is here and is asking for you." As soon as she heard this, she rose quickly and went to him. For Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still where Martha had met him. So when the Jews who were with her in the house comforting her saw Mary get up and quickly go out, they followed her, presuming that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come with her weeping, he became perturbed and deeply troubled and said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Sir, come and see." And Jesus wept. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not the one who opened the eyes of the blind man have done something so that this man would not have died?" So Jesus, perturbed again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay across it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the dead man's sister, said to him, "Lord, by now there will be a stench. He has been dead for 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus raised his eyes and said, Father, I thank you for hearing me. I know that you always hear me, but because of the crowd here, I have said this, that they may believe that you sent me. And when he had said this, he cried out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, tied hand and foot with burial bands, and his face was wrapped in a cloth. So Jesus said to them, untie him and let him go. Now many of the Jews who had come to Mary and seen what he had done began to believe in him. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. This gospel passage from John is both amazing, but also in a certain way, a bit, maybe call it unsettling, a little bit disturbing. Now, when we do a simple, and I'm gonna dig into that here in just a minute, but when we do a first initial look at it, we see some very obvious things that I'm not going to dwell on, but are salient points for our faith, for our encouragement. First of all, that Christ has power over death, period. He just did it right there. And this wasn't the only time. He also raised another man from the dead. We know what's going to be happening at Easter. But death does not have the ultimate word on any of our lives, any of our loved ones, and our situation. It does not. Period. Maybe that can't be emphasized enough. Second, our soul continues on separate from our body when we die. And this is a perfect example of it. There's a man there, he's alive, he's moving around, his soul is in his body and his soul are united, they become separate. The body starts to fall apart, it begins to stink, it begins to rot. Well, the soul comes back. It was somewhere else. It's the same soul that comes back in and reanimates the body. And so, and this reanimation, this body and soul back together in a certain sense is a foreshadowing of what life eternal will be. We know that at the end of the final judgment, we will get our bodies back and they won't be in the condition they're in now. It'll be better. You won't have to wear glasses. That problem with your hip, it's all gone. But anyways, that's for another homily. And then lastly, if Jesus can heal death and the body, the physical body, if he can heal the physical body in such a radical way, well, what can't he do for the soul? He can heal our soul from death, from decay, from sin, from damage, from wounds. He can do all that, and he's going to be doing that. Okay, those are the big ticket things that are I'm not, like I said, I'm not going to dwell on those, but are part of this gospel passage. But what I would like to do is take a little bit of a deeper look at what's actually happening here. And here's where we're going to come across the part that's maybe a little unsettling and disturbing. But as we dig into it, we see that this is the most amazing part of the gospel, not to mention someone rising from the dead. And there's a lot going on here. But so we're in the Gospel of John. John was the same one that we read from last week with the, I just blanked out, last week. 2 weeks ago, it was last week was the man that was cured, that was blind. The week before that, on the third Sunday of Lent, we had from the Gospel of John, the woman at the well. These are extensive Gospels. This was a long one here too. But you see, John was there for these things, and so he's able to take us in very close and give us a front row seat on the action that's happening, not just big picture. And Jesus cured hundreds on this day, and Jesus gave bread to 5,000, and Jesus, they like these big items. But now we're getting this close in shot to actually see the interaction between the people. John knew Martha and Mary and Lazarus because he was with Jesus when they would go there. And so he's going to allow us to see what this personal encounter is between Jesus and Martha, Jesus and Mary, and then obviously with Lazarus as well. Now, from not just from this gospel passage, but from other places as well, we know that Martha and Mary and Lazarus were, in a certain sense, special friends of Jesus and his apostles, that he would go and stay there when he was in Jerusalem. He would come out and go back to Bethany. And so it was a place that he could rest, get away from the crowds, be somewhat out of danger because you're 2 miles outside the city. You're not right inside of it. He's their friend. I mean, imagine to be the friend that Jesus goes and wants to spend time with. Have him come into your house and sit down and just be relaxed and want to hang out with you. Sometimes maybe our vision of a real serious Jesus who's infinitely sober and it's like that doesn't sound like someone you'd want to hang out with, right? But Jesus wants to do that, and he did do that. He couldn't do it with everybody, so why did he choose them? Well, they opened up and accepted everything they had to give. Martha and Mary, there's the thing about how Martha was serving, the active one, and Mary is just there at his feet listening, contemplating what he's saying, drinking it in. Jesus liked that. He connected well with both of them. And Lazarus as well. So when this is the first part that's disturbing, when we see that Jesus receives the note from the sisters, the one you love is ill. I mean, how many notes would Jesus get? How many petitions? Come to our town. No, come to our town. No, come my grandmother and no, my sister and oh, my child. And his attention is pulled. But when he gets this note, it's like everything stopped for a minute because, you know, these are my friends. And the disturbing part is that he didn't immediately go. And John even highlights it. He says, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was ill, he remained 2 days in the place where he was. That's not the immediate reaction that if you find out a loved one is very ill, you get up, you drop everything and you go. That's not what Jesus did. So that's why like, okay, Lord, you're going to have to. But John pointed it out for us. He loves them. Don't forget that. And he didn't go immediately. So Jesus is going to allow Lazarus to suffer immensely, and die. You can imagine that Lazarus' sufferings were over at that point, but not for Martha and Mary. To have their brother die, knowing that Jesus was, they sent the note, they did what they could, and just imagine waiting, okay, I'm sure he's going to try to come, I know he's going to come, I know there's going to be people getting in the way and pulling him in different directions, but Jesus, I know Jesus loves him, so I know he's going to come, and then he didn't come. It's got to be tearing him apart. Jesus finally arrives there. It's been 4 days since he was put in the tomb, probably. So there's probably even more days than that since he had died, maybe 5 days since he died. And then the illness, how much more that would have lasted. So there was more than just a small bit of time that passed between receiving the news until he gets there. And this first interaction, Martha gets up and goes out. The people don't follow her because Martha's always getting up and doing things. When Mary gets up to go, everyone follows her because Mary's the contemplative one, and they know if she's going up, getting up, it's for something of the heart, so to speak. And this interaction that Jesus has with Martha, do you believe your brother will rise? He's been dead for 4 days. It's almost like he's asking too much. Lord, no, that's not fair. That's not a fair question. Because she's thinking of the resurrection. Yes, I know he will rise in the resurrection on the last day. And he's pulling her forward in faith to believe that he truly is the author of life and death. But he does it by drawing her through a terrible suffering. But he's there and he reaches out and he's grabbing her by the hand and assuring her and said, "Didn't I tell you this? You remember that time we were speaking and I said this, that he will rise again? Haven't you seen this?" And he's bringing her forward. It seems to say, to indicate that that journey, that forward steps that Jesus is bringing her on would not be possible if it were not for the immense crisis of suffering that she's in. Because she has no other resources. She has no other hope to lean on except the Lord. And the same with Mary. The same thing happens. But just as one last gesture that John captured in this moment, there's the weeping of Martha and Mary, and we think that, okay, Lord, this is cruel. Couldn't you have done this in a simpler way that didn't involve this suffering, didn't involve the death, didn't involve them having to lose their brother? And Jesus wept. He has a heart for every human thing that we go through. It affects him deeply. It turns him, his heart inside out. He wept. He knows what our suffering is. He sympathizes with it. He has compassion with that. And he wouldn't be doing any of this if it weren't absolutely necessary. Jesus wept. It's in a moment of crisis like this that now Martha and Mary, and obviously very much so Lazarus, are able to have their hearts and their minds open to an experience of the unconditional mercy and love that God wants us to know and experience. And we can only really pry our hearts open when we're in moments like that. Pry it all the way open. He loves us too much to leave us the way we are with this limited vision, this limited faith, this limited trust. He brings us to the edge, but he grabs us by the hand and pulls us through. And remember this. And don't you remember when I told you this? Do you believe this? Yes, I believe this. I remember this. I believe that you're the Son, the one who is coming into the world, the Christ. And then the greater miracles happen. Lazarus comes out of the tomb. Without having said so much, I think it's obvious that this is what he does with each and every one of us in these crises of faith, of family, of suffering, of strife, and we're just reaching out and there's like nothing there, and then we just feel one hand on us. It says, "Here, listen, take a step forward with me. I've got you, but I need you to walk with me. I need you to remember this. I need you to step forward in faith." And things that we never thought were possible in our own heart begin to become real and begin to become alive again. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.